Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Aintree well and truly out the way. Punchestown coming to an end this week, and the flat season is well and truly here with the first opening classics of the season coming your way this weekend from Newmarket, both the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas. We're going to be covering the action on Saturday on ITV, which includes Newmarket, Goodwood and Fersk. And we'll also be covering the 1,000 guineas on Sunday from Newmarket in the final part of the show. But who joins me on this week's show? We've got Mr. Tom Park, the anti-postman Robbie Wilders, and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. I just want to start off, Ed, sad news in the last few days regards Shishkin and Unibet ambassador Nicky Henderson. It was a real sad thing to see on Twitter that evening. It came through late at night by Nicky Henderson. And I mean, the main thing is the outpour of emotion from everyone in the media. I think that's what really caught Nicky's eyes, how many people actually love this horse. And he was such an amazing horse to go and see. I've watched him a couple of times on track, but you must have seen him plenty in the yard.
Yeah, amazing horse. We did a piece with Nico de Boinville called Silks, where we asked him to look at his famous silks during his career. And obviously the Jim Donnelly silks, very famous, but as we said, most famous at that time, before the King George it was, for Shishkin. And he just, during that interview, you could tell that Nico absolutely loved the horse. And that's the same as everyone. Everyone loved the fact that he wasn't perfect. You know, he was a great horse in his younger days, great horse in his older days. But as he got older, he got a bit quirkier, a little bit like us all. And yeah, he had a great following. I think Nicky generally was surprised at how many people. I mean, 1.5 million people were clicking through on that tweet. When I looked at it, it's probably even more now. So yeah, he loves his horses. And I think as he's got to know more about social media, he's beginning to realise how many people out there really love his horses too. So yeah, sad news. They were looking forward to going to Punchestown. So yeah, and he's apparently, Jaden, who looks after him, just saying that he was a lovely, lovely horse as well. So yeah, sad news all round.
Absolutely, yeah. Thoughts with all connections with regards to Shishkin, a lovely horse, and he will be missed. Let's move on then to the big race previews for this weekend. We start off on Saturday at Newmarket. We've got four races to cover, and the first of which is the 145, which is a 6-furlong Heritage Handicap, a Class 2 event where Summergand, it wouldn't be the start of the flat season without seeing Summergand at the top of a sprint handicap market. He's currently 5-1 with Unibet. Noble Styles 11-2, Rohan's 15-2, Apollo 1 and Chairman of the Board are 9-1, 10-1 about Aberama Gold, Rabar is 11-1 and 12-1, and bigger about the rest of the field. I'm going to come to the anti-postman first on this race.
Good
here.
Decision,
here he
Matt.
Is. Absolutely. Have you got a strong fancy in this, Robbie?
I don't know if you can ever be too strong on a big field sprint, but I do quite like Apollo 1 at double figure odds. This horse, I think he's on a mark he can win off 100. He's been really consistent in all of these sort of big 6-furlong handicaps over the last couple of years. And the last time he ran here, he ran in this race last year. He was a really good third to probe off £3 lower. It looks as if the ground is going to be a little, it could be soft enough on the Saturday. His best performance last season was on heavy at Goodwood. He just gone down by Amarama Gold in the Stewards' Cup. I think there's plenty to like, really. He's just a very consistent horse. He's consistently knocking in RPRs in a sort of 107 to 110 bracket. He's off 100. And he's got a reasonably good record fresh. So I think he'll give punters a good run for their money.
Okay, Apollo 1 to kick things off for Robbie Wilders. Tom Park, who for you in the opening race we cover?
Yeah, as you expect, tricky race. Summergand was like a real eye catch last time, wasn't he? And when he gets into kind of his form, he's a very tough horse to beat. He's old enough, though. Noble Style has tons of class. He's quite exciting to see in here. You're just taking a little bit of a leap of faith, I think, with him, because he seemed to get worse last season rather than better. I could make a case for the outside of the total field, Wallop. He was a good two-year-old. We've only seen him twice since. We saw him once last year where he won, I think, by a head. And then he had a perfectly good, considering how long he's been off the track, comeback last a couple of weeks ago at Newmarket. He's £3 wrong at the weights as a result of that, but Ross Orion's on, and he is unexposed. Wouldn't rule him out at a massive price. The one I'll be backing here is Raba. for the Charlie Hills team. He won his first two starts last year on the all-weather in really good style. They then pitched him up and listed company against Shaquille in the Carnarvon Stakes. He ran perfectly fine. He was fifth, two and a quarter lengths behind Noble Style. He then ran in a handicap at York in June. He was fifth again, beating two lengths, but that form is really, really hot. Quinault, the winner of the race, he obviously won two big handicaps after that. He jumped from a mark of 85 to 102. The second, Washington Heights, was rated 90 that day. He's now rated 113. And the third, Mill Stream, was rated 98 and is now rated 111. We haven't seen Raba since. He actually was slow into stride that day, which probably cost him at least a few lengths. So he might have even finished a little bit closer. I just think he's really interesting. They've gelded him as well, which I think could be a big help to him because he was often quite keen in his races. I just think he's dead interesting off a decent enough layoff. But Charlie Hills, when he gets these sprinters going, they often start in handicaps like this. And I think this horse has the potential to potentially go on a big group level. And certainly on that York form, you would suspect he would.
Absolutely, yeah. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, definitely a horse that could end up being of group class. I can see the case there. Ed Nicholson, looks like we're going to have extra places in this really competitive sprint handicap.
Yeah, five places. And it's also money back second, third offer for us, our flagship offer and the opening race. Really difficult race, as the lads have been saying. I looked at Noble Style, but again, I was a little bit worried about his... The fact he's not wearing any headgear, he's worn cheek pieces, he's worn blinkers, he's not wearing anything today. This time last year, he ran in the Guineas, didn't he? And finished sixth when he kind of had a rating of 117. He wasn't running in handicaps then, obviously, but now he's 108. So if they've got him ready, but my worry would be that they haven't got the blinkers on or any headgear on, which worries me. And so I've gone for the exact opposite of Noble Style, who is a young horse, has only had seven runs. I've gone for the 10-year-old Summer Gan, who's had 74th turf flat runs, and he's just that, as Tom said, that run last time out, it was eye-catching, wasn't it? He didn't get the best of runs, he ran on, you know, he's still well you can't say he's well handicapped, but he's been running well off these sort of marks for a long time, and he just needs to get the right kind of conditions. Now that is a worry. There is a bit of rain around, and we're recording this on Thursday. I'm not too sure. He has won on the soft, but I think he's probably better on faster ground. And he is quite short in the betting, 9-2 with Unibet at the moment. But I think he's got everything going for him in this race. It is going to be a fast run race. So as long as the ground isn't too soft, he's on a handicap mark that he can win off. And he showed last time out when he was finishing. He was last with two furlongs to go, and he weaved his way through to finish fifth. So off this rating, I still think he's got, even though he's 10, I still think he can hit the heights and some again to get the day off to a good start for the favourite backers.
There you go. He's just so solid, isn't he, Summer Gan? I do find that he can become like an eye catch for a lot of punters because he does find a fair bit of trouble on Summer Gan, but he's just so solid in these sprint handicaps. You can't go wrong. And those five places with Unibet and also the money back, if second or third do take advantage of that, you can go to unibet.co.uk and look at the terms and conditions there. Let's move on then to the 220, which is the Suffolk Stakes, another Heritage Handicap Class 2 event over 1 mile, 1 furlong, where Torito tops the market with Unibet at 4-1. Dutch Decoy is around 11-2. Theory of Everything, 6-1. Liberty Lane for the informed Carl Burke team, 17-2. Line of War is 9-1. Then we've got 11-1 about Bo Pedro, Mr. Professor, and Hafita Lane, and 12-1 and bigger the rest. And more extra places here, Ed.
Yeah, again, we're going five places. It's 4-1 the field with Unibet at time of recording. And it's a very competitive race. So, yeah, five places. As I've mentioned before, I'm a big fan of Mr. Professor, but I'm not, again, not too sure. I think he does need soft. This extra furlong, he won the Lincoln trip, didn't he, over a mile. But this extra furlong will suit, but it's a soft ground. I'm not too sure at the moment that going is not soft at all, is it? I think it's been described as good, but there is a bit of rain forecast. So it's quite a difficult race to analyse. If there was soft ground, I think that he's only raised a few pounds for winning that race. And he's missed a few engagements the last few weeks. I think he's still ahead of the handicapper on a rating of 99. But my eye was caught to Dutch Decoy. Charlie Johnson is doing exactly what his old man has done for years. When he comes to Newmarket in handicaps, he wins races. Charlie Johnson's had 13 winners from 83 runners at the headquarters. Not all of those are handicaps. He's in good form at the moment. At time recording, he's got 21% strike rate, Charlie Johnson. And Dutch Decoy just loves Newmarket. He came fifth in this race last year when he wasn't really fancy, 25-1, rated 83. He's rated 93, but he comes into the race better form. He was second at the Craven meeting, went very unlucky to lose. He lost by a nose, bob of the heads, one stride after he was a neck up. And he was following that 12th in the Lincoln. He's competed in the good races. Last year, he came sixth in the Cambridgeshire over the course. He came third in the Golden Mile, rated similar, 1993. He's got good form on good ground. He's got form on softer ground as well, which is what I liked when recording this. We don't know what the going is. So Dutch Decoy, I thought he'd have to run a good race. And he's ran about 11-2 at the moment. I kind of think he's a very good bet here.
Yeah, Nixon, very sweet there on Dutch Decoy for the inform Charlie Johnson team. Tom Park, for you in the 220, who are you with?
Yes, along the similar form lines of Dutch Decoy, I could definitely see Dutch Decoy running a big race. I like Theory of Everything. I thought he was a real big eye catcher last time at Newmarket. He ran in the same race that Dutch Decoy just failed to get her feet Elaine on the line. Theory of Everything was, he finished right on their tails as well in fourth. But he came from off the pace, and all week that week at Newmarket, it favoured being up towards the pace, and Theory of Everything was tucked in towards the rear, made his move late, came with a big run, just didn't get there in time. If the race was another 200 yards, he would have certainly won the race. Runs off the same mark here. They've got William Buick on board. I just think this race should really suit him. He's got a good stall again in three. Generally, at Newmarket, these big handicaps, if the rain doesn't come, I'm just looking at the weather now, light showers on Friday afternoon, but nothing apart from that. So it might not change the going that much on Saturday anyway. I think this race will really suit him, and I think it'll favour him being drawn low, essentially, and on that far side. So, yeah, Theory of Everything for me.
Theory of Everything for Tom Park. And there was a slight nod from Robbie Wilders as well, as you mentioned the horse's name. Is that an agreement there, Robbie?
Yeah, well, sounds like Parky's been reading the anti-postman, mate, because I was very much all over Theory of Everything on Tuesday. Yeah, massive chance for me. Echoing exactly what Parky says, but at the same time, I had a couple of other things in. I mean, this horse was extremely highly regarded this time last year for the Gulstons. He went off joint third favourite for the Greenham on only his third start ever. He ran pretty well there behind two horses that are sort of on the periphery of Group 1 level in Shireen and Isaac Shelby. And he sort of did lose his way a little bit for the Gulstons, but I was sort of keeping an eye on him before that Newmarket run, because I know O'Mara's got such a good record of improving his sort of new recruits. And he ran well up to expectation, as Parky pointed out. It was very hard to make up ground at that meeting. Stayed on really nicely into fourth. Going to be better over an extra furlong. And you just look at his breeding. I mean, his Dan Persuasive was a soft ground winner of the QE2 at four. I think he's going to get better and better. And if there is a bit of juice underfoot over an extra furlong with William Buick up as well, I noted that I don't think Danny Tudhope could have done that weight. So Buick being up is no negative at all, rather than the stable jockey. So I think now, even though he's 6-1, I think that's could shorten even more.
There we go. Yeah, Robbie putting this horse up in his anti-postman email. You can get access to that. Do go. And I mean, most of our viewers probably have now, but I'll put the link down in the description if you want to get access to the anti-postman email. Let's move on then to the 255 at Newmarket. This is the Palace House Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest over five furlongs, where Beautiful Diamond is topping the market around 7-2. Mitt Bahi is 4-1. Twilight Calls 11-2. Curdos is 6-1. The Dream 8-1. Seven Questions and Tea Spirit 16-1. And Significantly 20-1 outside of the field. I mentioned earlier that Carl Burke's team are in hot form, Tom Park. Is Beautiful Diamond the one you're siding with?
Certainly got a chance. I really like Twilight Calls. I've been scolded quite a few times by him, but I just can't help think there's a really top class sprinter in there. He has shown glimpses of it, of course. Like, he was second to Nature Strip in the 2022 King Stand, fourth in that race last year, and I'm sure this will be a stepping stone to that. But he has won first time out a couple of times. So I think he goes well enough fresh. I just think he's the most talented horse in the race, and that you've got the most talented jockey in the world on him in Ryan Moore. And I think 11 to 2 about a horse of that profile is more than fair. I think he's got a right chance. I think he should be favourite. So 11 to 2, I'm more than happy to take that.
Yeah, decent price there. 11 to 2. Twilight Calls for the Henry Candy and Ryan Moore team there. Robbie Wilders to you next. Who are you with in this 5 furlong sprint?
Yeah, it's an annoying one for me. I put up a quality at the start of the week at 6s. He was declared, but for some reason, he just come out in the last hour. So I've had to have a little wee thing. I get what Parker's saying. Twilight Calls, he's got a chance. Beautiful Diamonds, interesting, getting a lot of weight as a three-year-old. She could blast out. And, obviously, prominent racers do quite well in these sort of contests at Newmarket. For Mitt Bar, he was sort of not a natural candidate to drop back down in trip. He'll be held up by Jamie Spencer. I'm not too sure about him. I think the Dream's quite interesting. She obviously won this last year. It remains to be seen whether she's on the wrong or right side of the draw, potentially, as in stall two. But I thought it was a pretty good run for her in that list race at Bath on her return. The ground would have been quicker than she likes. We know that she likes a bit of juice on the foot. It looks like she's going to get that. And I think she certainly ticks more boxes than her opening price suggests.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if it does come up soft, that 8-1 could be fairly nice on the day. Ed Nicholson, to you, who do you like in this race?
I'm exactly the same as Robbie. I was all over equality. And I've only just noticed he's not running. So I haven't really looked at the other detail. So I kind of, Beautiful Diamond, I concur with Robbie again, but I can't really give a selection because I was all over equality and that was going to be the bet.
Okay, well, that's fine. Let's move on to the big one then, shall we? The 3:35 on Saturday at Newmarket is the 1 mile Kipco 2000 Guinea Stakes. The Group 1 here. This is obviously for the Colts and part of the British Champions Series. And Unibet currently have City of Troy. The exciting City of Troy is the 6-4 on favourite at the top of the market. Rosalian is 9-2. Notable Speech is 10-1. Ghostwriter 11s. Night Raider 14-1. Alienabi 16-1. Task Force is 18-1, 20-1, and bigger about the rest of the field. And before we get the panel's thoughts on this race, we're going to hear from Unibet ambassador Richard Hannon on his exciting runner, Rosalian.
He's done very well. He lost, I think, 17 or 18 kilos in France. It was a very hot day when he won the Lagardère in record time, may I add. So he's entitled to lose a fair bit of weight, but he put that on within 5 days of being back. And since then, he's put on another 25 kilos, which is a lot. He's looked like it's July all through the winter, weirdly enough. Paco Boy used to do the same thing. You know, he never really got a winter coat. And this lad has looked brilliant. Timmy Murphy's done a great job with him and really happy with him, the way he's working.
You've obviously got close association with the Guineas, with Knight of Thunder, and Barney Roy was just nabbed. Where does this horse fit in with those
right at the top,
type of horses?
Right at the top. He's always showed an awful lot. He's very relaxed. He behaves like the real good ones do. Just have a little bit of a, you know, they walk, nothing bothers them. And he's been a pleasure. He looks great, looks after himself. And yeah, he's, you know, I don't think any of those were Group 1 winners going into the Guineas. And this fella is, you know, and that is, winning Group 1s as a 2-year-old is nigh on impossible. Especially what we consider the top ones. And the fact he's done that makes him extremely highly qualified to run extremely well in the Guineas. No, extremely well, win the Guineas, you know.
Yeah, interesting to hear the thoughts there of Richard Hannon. It's an interesting one with Rosalian because he's a Group 1 winning 2-year-old, Ed Nicholson. I've heard all the stuff that Brett Williams has had to say about this horse. Do we think there could be a little bit of an upset on the cards here?
Well, every year Richard talks up his best 2-year-old for the Guineas, and each time it doesn't do the business. But this particular horse has done things that those horses haven't. He's won a Group 1 at 2 and a good Group 1 as well, one of the best, beating the course record in the process. He's also obviously a very, very good horse. He got beat though, didn't he, on soft ground, and that would be a concern if the did start to rain, and we don't know, but if it was softer, I think that would be a little bit against him. But they are very bullish. They really think they've got a star on their hands. However, we know we've got a star on our hands across the Irish Sea with Rosalia, with the City of Troy, who after winning the Dewhurst was as short as 5-4 to win the Guineas. He's now 4-6. Aidan O'Brien is quoted as saying he's the best two-year-old he's ever trained. I don't know if he says that every year
we get that, Ed, don't we?
Yeah, I think maybe after Dewhurst this year, there'll be a two-year-old that's his best that he's ever trained. But he's trained a lot of good two-year-olds, so that's quite interesting. And he's coming into this race as higher rated two-year-old as we've ever had. He's rated 125. The last time a horse was rated as high as this into a Guineas was Frankel when he's rated 126. And Aidan's had some good horses since. He's had Churchill with 122, and also the Irish had Dawn Approach with 124. So, I mean, this horse, if he just does what he's already shown as a two-year-old, he'll win. I think it's simple as that, isn't it? He doesn't really have to improve. So, I mean, I can't really go against City of Troy. I think Rosalian's a very good horse, so that's the forecast. So I was even thinking of throwing in for each way, but the way I look at it, you're just going for one place. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stick with City of Troy. I think her team is better than most people think he is. Winning the Craven, bad horses don't win Cravens. You know, he's a good horse. He won it really well. It's up in distance, but he ran 9 times as a two-year-old. You don't normally get them winning the Guineas, do you? I'm just going to go for a straightforward forecast, City of Troy to beat Rosalian. There you go.
There we go. Yeah, I would say a Craven winner's Artem. You wouldn't often see a Craven winner around 25-1 for a race like this, but he could run a massive race. There's no doubt.
He's a big price. He's a big price, and he's on ratings. He's not too far behind. You know, I mean, he's behind Seat of Troy, but he's not far too behind everything else in the race. So he's a big price, 25s. But I just, you know, I think he's just running for one place, in my opinion. I think the Seat of Troy and Rosalia are going to prove themselves to be very good.
Absolutely, Robbie. City of Troy, obviously, he's proven over the course, he's a really exciting two-year-old. He was a really exciting two-year-old. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of expectation going into this season. I was trying to find sort of some things to try and, you know, cause a bit of a worry. And the only thing I could see was that Sired by Justify, a lot of Justifiers have actually needed the run this season. I don't know whether you took that into note when looking at this race, but I found a lot of Justifiers being beaten at the start of the season. But that is me being really picky. He could just be exceptionally good and be far better than this field, couldn't he?
Oh, he could be, yeah, for sure. I'd also note that his dam, Together Forever, was quite precocious, didn't exactly kick on as a three-year-old. I mean, there's no reason he won't continue to improve. I think his future probably lies over a little bit further. But, you know, if it does turn into more of a stamina test because of the rain, that should help him. I've had a long-term wager on Rosalian for about 6 months ago for this. I'm a bit worried now about the conditions, obviously. He's just electric on fast ground. That form of his Pat Edry Stakes win at Ascot last year, that was probably the juvenile form line of the entire season. Like, so many horses coming out and winning Group 2s, Group 1s, Group 3s. And he won it so easily. He's obviously a rare talent, but you've got to be worried about the ground. I think now if I was having a bet, because I'm not one to be taking sort of odds on about an Aidan O'Brien horse at this time of year. There's too many of them get beaten. He's had a lot of short price losers this term. If Sia Troy doesn't run up to scratch, then I think there are a couple who could go really well. Ghostwriter, Unibet seems to be more on the right side of him at about 11-1. He's bigger elsewhere, but I can see why the traders have been slightly defensive. He's obviously unbeaten. He's got sort of form lines have sort of worked out quite well. His Royal Lodge win, the second, third and fourth were in those positions in the Sandown Classic trial recently. And I think he's going to be all right on a bit of softer conditions. Invincible Spirits generally sort of handle a little bit slower turf. His dam was a sort of mile and a half winner. I think he'll be absolutely fine by a sort of stamina test this race can invariably present. And he's the one I'll be looking at going in, but my main play for a while has been Rosalian. It's just fingers crossed about the conditions.
Yeah, it's going to be all about the conditions. And look, City of Troy is going to handle any conditions. I wouldn't be... he showed that last season. Tom Park, is City of Troy just the standout horse and we'll go and win this?
Yeah, I normally try and take on the odds on favourites, or at least find an angle. Did a contenders piece, a digital piece this morning, and I just don't think that every kind of every time you put a cross against him, you have an answer. I just think he's rock solid. And if he was so exciting as a two-year-old, and it's just that finishing kick that he's got. I could see Rosalian probably being last off the bridle and thinking the way that the kind of camera angle is sometimes in the Guineas, that's a long shot with them kind of stretched across the track, it might look for a few seconds like City of Troy might struggle, and then I just think turbo mode will just kick in and he'll just fly away from them. I have a few question marks. So is Rizaliand definitely going to stay?
I think he will. His dam's very close to right to ring three. He's got a lot of sort of mile and a quarter, mile and a half horses.
He just looked, he looked speedy because of the, as you said, I think the faster the ground, the better his chance. City of Troy should go in on anything, although O'Brien did keep saying last year, oh, that he's a proper good ground horse, and they were always worried about running him on soft ground, but his kind of biggest two performances have come on good to soft and soft. So I don't think he'll have any problems with the ground. I think he's going to be better over further City of Troy. So this is a stepping stone to kind of some big things, hopefully, this season. And O'Brien will have him right. I know O'Brien's, a few of them have kind of been a bit under par and stuff first time out. His form's not been as you'd expect from O'Brien later in the season, but that's often the case. And it's very rare that he leaves them undercooked for a race like the Guineas. This is a massive race and has huge breeding implications on a particular horse like City of Troy, who was champion two-year-old. I can't see anything getting anywhere near him. I agree with Robbie. The each-way player for me is Ghost Rider. I just think that the likes of Knight Raider and Notable Speech are a little bit shorter than him in the betting. They're kind of there because of the unknown. They've come from the all-weather and we just don't know how good they are. I'd be surprised I don't think their form's anywhere near as good as that Royal Lodge win from Ghost Rider. And yeah, I think he's rock solid. I think he's one who'll definitely appreciate a little bit further in time. But he'll be coming with a big finish, you would think. So he might just grab a place. But yeah, I think City of Troy's rock solid. He's even tempted me into a bet. And 4-6 is not usually a price that I'd get involved. But I think he'll win here.
Absolutely, he could be a monster, couldn't he? He really could. And our viewers have had a nice tour of the Racing Post office there. Thanks to that, Robbie Wilders. You got moved out of a...
Yeah, sorry, mate. I got turfed. Tom Boyle turfed me out. There's some meeting going on in that room at 1:30. So I was trying to say, come on, mate. But
no, you.
Yeah, nice view, actually, isn't it?
Nice tour of RP headquarters, so thanks.
Yeah, seven floors up in this gaff, so lots to take in outside.
There we go. Right, so that is Newmarket on Saturday, all done and dusted. We're going to be covering one race from Goodwood and one race from Thirsk in part two.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the second part of the Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Tom Park and Unibet's Ed Nicholson spinning you through the weekend action. We've got action from Goodwood and Thirsk now, and we start off at Goodwood with the 205 there, the Conqueror Filly Stakes. It's a listed contest over a mile, and Unibet currently have Novus for the brand new Gary and Josh Moore team at 3-1. Breege is 100-30, Orchard Bloom is also 100-30, Choisir is 7-2, Marcella 10-1, Secret Solace is 11-1, Royal Dress 22-1, Our Town is 33-1 here. If people want to know about the ground, I live just outside of Goodwood. It's absolutely hammering with rain at the moment, and I think the ground's currently heavy, so that's not going to help too many people. But I'd imagine we're going to have really soft conditions at Goodwood on Saturday. They've got a two-day meeting as well, with Friday taking place. Ed Nixon, I'll let you kick things off. Who do you like in the Filly Stakes here?
Well, I'm glad you're inside and it's hammering it down, but I'm also glad that it's hammering it down, because I'm fancy Novus, and when I did the notes, it was good to soft. I don't think it could be soft enough for Novus. Heavy is a slightly different ball game, but having just said what I've said, I should take it. Novus ran in the Earl of Sefton last time, which would have put her straight on for this race. She wasn't fancied that day. She finished 7th of 9 with us. Well, she finished right at the back, didn't she? But she finished 7th. But she was rated only 7th of the 9, is what I'm trying to say. So she wasn't expected to run well, 22-1. I've just got a feeling, I don't know, but I would have thought that run, although it was a great group three and they want to win it, it will just put a spot on for this, which is a listed race. She has won a group three race, so she does have to give a penalty away, which I don't like normally to see. But she's the best filly in the race by some way, by 3 or 4 pounds. So I think the soft ground is key to her. She wears cheeky pieces for the first time. I think that's a positive. And I think she'll get much shorter than she is at the moment now that the ground's gone that heavy only in the last hour. It was good to soft before that, and soft. So it must be really teaming it down there, Sam. And Novus would be a really good bet, I think, at the price at the moment.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think Novus is a cracking bet in here. And I would be with Swassier if the ground was quicker. This horse is so solid at Goodwood, but the ground would need to come up a lot quicker for me to be fancying this horse. But Novus, really, really solid, in my opinion, for the Gary and Josh Moore team. Tom Park, for you in this race from Goodwood?
Yeah, I like Beach. Really strong form in the book from last season. And as a two-year-old, like, ran, beaten 6.5 lengths by Blue Rose Sen, one of your favourites, in the Marcel Boussac as a two-year-old. Ran in the Irish 1,000 Guineas, I think, first time out last year. So, like, they clearly think she's quite good. Always ran a race. Like, was second at a big price in the Sandringham. Second in a group three at Goodwood on soft ground, then beaten by horses like by the likes of like Heredia and Chindit. That's really solid form, like beaten only 11.5 by Chindit. I think this is a good bit easier than what she's been running in, and I think this is probably her best opportunity of getting a win, because I think she's won since she won a maiden in at Wetherby. So it's long coming, but she's a high class mare. I'm a big fan of Jason Hart. I think he's a top jockey. Breach for me. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Breach, some really strong form in the book. I actually was on the wrong end of this horse, 33-1 in the Sandringham, finishing second to a well handicapped piece that day. But yeah, Jason Hart, anyone with a surname Hart is top notch. Don't worry about that, Parky. Robbie Wilders.
Especially Dave Hart. Goodwood. Especially Dave Hart, yeah. Get to know.
Yeah, you give my dad a mention on the show.
Hart Senior, shout out to him.
He'll be at Goodwood the next 2 days.
Too right, he will be. And I'll be very much back in Marcella in this race. Respect what you fellas are saying about Breach and Novus, but now then, in this race, there are a lot of sort of fillies returning from long layoffs. I think that's always a bit of a worry when the ground is really hard work. And Marcella's definitely got fitness behind her. She ran a joint career best at Kempton on her return. I thought she was the horse to take out of that conditions race. There was a Godolphin odds-on favourite, Devoted Queen. Only won by a neck in the end. This filly was a fast finish in second. The race was very slowly run. She was held up, made massive inroads at the end. A lot of her two-year-old form's actually working out quite well. Haydock performance in particular. She's already won on soft ground. She's German bred. It'll be even worse than soft at Goodwood, you'd have thought. But as a three-year-old, she's getting lumps of weight from the older horses. Andrew Baldwin's banging in a lot of winners at the moment, and I think she's one who could shorten from double figures, certainly.
Okay, there we go. So we've got 2 votes for Novus, 1 vote for Breach, and at a bigger price, Marcella for Robbery in the Conqueror Filly Stakes from Goodwood on Saturday. Let's move across to Fersk now for the one race from there, which is the Fersk Hunt Cup Handicap, coming at 2:40 from there. 1 mile the distance, and Northern Express is 6-1 favourite. Thunder Roar 15-2. Hiroshima is 8-1. La Trinidad 9-1, Pisanello is 10-1, 14-1 and bigger. The rest in here. Have we got extra places here, Ed Nicholson?
We have, yeah, 5 places. The Thirst Kunk Cup. Funny enough, it's one of the races I always like looking forward to. It's always competitive. It's always good odds. And if you can get one, it's you normally get rewarded with nice odds. Having said that, it's really difficult, isn't it? Once again, we've got the last 2 years winners here. One of them who likes it firm, one of them who likes it soft. So I don't know what the going is going to be as well up at Thirsk. It's good to soft at the moment. Northern Express won the race last year off 92. Trouble with me looking at him this year, he has had a run 16 days ago. Michael Dodd's horse is not in great form. I like looking at trainer form. He hasn't had a winner in the last 2 weeks. He's had 23 horses run. Paul Morellan's great jockey, gets on well with Northern Express. He is one of the two favourites for the race, but he's running off 101 today, which is obviously £9 higher than he won it last year. So I kind of went away from Northern Express. The winner of it 2 years ago has won on all sorts of ground, but I think likes it quick. Radana, it's a 20-1 outsider this time, a 10-year-old, won it 2 years ago, 66-1. Don't fancy that one either. The one I've gone for, and it really is just a tentative selection, is Hiramichi, number 14, who I noted winning at Ripon. Ripon does favour front runners, and he got into a rhythm, and is, well, him and the other horse were led all the way, and he just found a bit more at the closing stages. It will have to be a career best run, I think, here, because he hasn't won off 86, if I remember. But his stable are in good form. Jack Shannon's having winners everywhere. He's been backed as well this week, which I like to see. And he's won all sorts of ground. I've noted he's won on good ground, he's won on good to soft ground, he's won on soft ground. So previewing a race on Thursday when you don't know what the going is going to be, I think he's probably a best kind of selection. He's also a winner. He's won 8 of his 25 races. So that's the reason why I've gone for him. He's drawn stall 3 as well. Got a lot of positives, but it is a really tricky race, and it's my least confident selection of the podcast.
Okay, Hiramichi, but yeah, if Jack Shannon horses, if money comes for those horses, you do take note. Robbie Wilders, to you next in the first Hunt Cup.
Yeah, I found this one plenty difficult, Sam, to be honest. It's not one I'm sort of jumping out to have a bet in, but at the same time, I'm quite interested in the profile of Mirsky on his stable debut for David O'Mara. I touched upon earlier, I really rate this guy with his new acquisitions. He more often than not gets quite a bit of improvement out of him. This horse was sort of running in good races in France last year for the head stable, but he just sort of didn't really get his ground quite a lot. He seems to be much his best on good ground. I mean, he wasn't beaten too far by Facteur Cheval, who obviously won that Group 1 in Maidan recently, a couple of years ago, and he's 5 now. I imagine Amara's going to get something decent out of it. He's got a sort of profile where if he was strong in the betting here, I'd be fairly inclined to get involved, but if there's no sort of money for him, then you could probably assume that, you know, he's going to improve for it and this hasn't been the big day. But he's definitely one to have in your race and post tracker, Mirsky. Not a bet as such, but a horse to follow.
Keep note, yeah, previously trained by Madame Victoria Head, Mirsky, now with David O'Mara. Tom Park, your final selection on the ITV racing action on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not far from Thirsk, so I might actually go on Saturday. I'm thinking about it, but the weather is all right, I think. It's been quite warm and nice, so I think, and it's not, there's a couple of showers tomorrow, but nothing heavy, so hopefully the ground will kind of be pretty good. Yeah, I agree with Ed. I'm going to take a chance on Hiramichi as well. I was quite impressed with it, Ripon. Thought it really dug him well, and like for a horse who's had 25 starts, it's a bit daft to say he's unexposed, but like he's kind of really picked up his form lately. Like we mentioned that he's a winner, he's won 8, but he's won 3 of his last 5, and he's like shooting up the handicap as a result, and it makes it like difficult for the handicapper to kind of assess him when a horse is doing that. I'm not sure he's quite at the end of his winning run. I think he's got a real knack for it, and Jack Channon's horses are just running so well, so I'm going to take a chance on him. He's got I like, particularly in a big field race like this at Thirsk, I like to be drawn relatively low, and of the market principles, he's the one who's kind of jumping out in stall 3. Pisanello, who was second in the race last year, has drawn 1. He was on my radar. My problem with him, he's drawn 1, but he likes to be held up. And it might be a tough ask. I think Hiramichi from stall 3 might just get into a prominent position and might be tough to catch. So yeah, Hiramichi.
2 votes for Hiramichi then, and a horse to follow in Mirsky in the first Hunt Cup. Let us know down in the comments who you'll be backing on the ITV racing action on Saturday. I'd be keen to hear some of our viewers' thoughts. We're going to be back after this short advert of a preview of the 1,000 guineas on Sunday, as well as getting any other selections and the best bets for the weekend.
Fancy a bet but find it confusing? Do not fear. SmartView is here to help you. We've taken the traditional race card and removed all the jargon and abbreviations, which can be daunting for newcomers. The result is a race card that means making informed choices and picking winners is easier than ever. Our racing experts and data scientists have created an algorithm that puts everything a seasoned punter would consider into the attribute bars you see on the race card and assesses each runner with an overall score out of 100.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Tom Park, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson taking you through the 1,000 guineas now. We turn attention to the fillies. 1 mile here for this Group 1 Classic. And Unibet's betting currently at the time of recording have Fallen Angel as the 11-4 favourite. Ilang Ilang is 100-30. Dance Sequence is 5-1. The French Raider, Ramatuel, is 8-1. See the Fire, also 8-1. Content is 10-1. 12-1 about Pretty Crystal and 14-1. And bigger about the rest of the field. Where do we start here, Robbie Wilders? It's probably not the strongest 1,000 guineas, is it?
Nah, I think it's plenty open enough. I think we start with the fact that you were twisting my arm the other week to put Ramatuel in the anti-postman, but I'm not a man who copies someone else's work. So while I considered that an interesting case at 20s, and I think she's probably still actually reasonably priced at sort of 8-1, but I've left her. It's a muddling enough race, but if there is some soft in the ground and Cole Burke chooses to go this way, then I think Darnation at 40s is a wild price. This horse has got outstanding form on soft ground. She absolutely beat See the Fire pretty easily on soft at Doncaster in the May Hill a couple of starts back. See the Fire's sort of trading at around 7-8-1 at the moment. I can't really understand Darnation being 40s in light of that. Yes, she wasn't as good in the Marcel Boussat Next Time. She went off second favourite to Opera Singer. She'd have found the ground all too quick there. It was riding much quicker than the official good soft description that day. The worry is she is being held back for the Poulash next week. But if I can sort of get one of my minions to get in touch with Kyle Burke and find out whether Darnation is sort of new market bound, then I think 40s is a monster price. But total respect, Ramatuel. I'm going to sit tight for a bit longer until I know where the land lies. But I think it's a race where you shouldn't be afraid to have a flyer because no one really stands out for me.
Absolutely. It's an interesting race, the 1,000 guineas compared to 2,000, because with the 2,000, has a good record of having previous winners or a prior winner going into the race and winning it. With regards to the 1,000, completely opposite. Horses who have been beaten can go on and win this race. And you look at Dance Sequence and Ramatuel, they were basically in similar trials. And Nell Gwynn and the Prix and Prudence are basically the trials for this race over in France and in the UK. And they were both second to, you know, good horses, but you can see both of them taking a massive step forward and being better than the winners from their races. Ramatuel for the Christopher Head team, this horse probably has some of the best form in the book from the pre-morning last season. You look at Jasaw, who finished 8th in that pre-morning, came out and won the Commonwealth Cup trial at the Royal Ascot Trials Day yesterday in really good style. And look, you had Van Dijk at top of the market, who's the Commonwealth Cup favourite. The third was River Tiber. It's as strong as it gets, really. The best piece of two-year-old form in there. She definitely needed the run, speaking to Christopher Head. She was going to have an easier run than expected because it was a heavy ground over in France that day. She'll take a massive step forward, and Aurelien Lemaitre is an excellent pilot to have on board. Ilang Ilang's going to love it if the ground comes up soft. I can see Ilang Ilang being more of an Oaks filly, but if it came up soft, I think she'll be really tough to beat. And look, we don't know too much with regards to Fallen Angel. We've seen the gallop at Newmarket. I don't know how much people look into gallops at Newmarket, but I wouldn't have a Carl Burke horse winning the 1,000 guineas, but it might be just the fact that this is a weak 1,000 guineas that she's right at the top of the market and looks the one to beat. Ed Nicholson, what did you make of this race looking through it?
I really liked it, Ilang Ilang, especially if the ground's going to get softer, as I'm led to believe on the Sunday, it's even more likely to be soft than the Saturday at Newmarket. And Ilang Ilang's already shown that she can go on soft going at Newmarket. And that was a war of attrition, that grade one, and she came through. She's definitely going to be better over 10 and 12, but she does remind me so much of many of Aidan O'Brien's runners in this race. He's won 5 of the last 8, and the two that I remember really well, Minding and Love, both horses that were going to be better over 12 furlongs, 10 furlongs, 12 furlongs, who came and won the guineas. Same sort of setup as well. Minding won the Fillies Mile, Love came third in the Fillies Mile. and they both look stayers. And I remember I'd actually backed Love Antipost for the Oaks, and I was surprised that she won the Guineas. I literally thought she'd be placed, but she had enough speed to do it. And I think the thing with the fillies, like you've mentioned it with Aiden, they don't mind if they get beat. They just want grade one winners, yeah. Group one winners for the breedings at two, at three. It doesn't really matter. So the fact that she came ninth in the Moy Glare, wasn't it, behind Fallen Angel, ninth of ninth. If you watch that race, as soon as Ryan Moore's chance has gone, he just let her coast home. So that form with Fallen Angel totally just put a line through that, I think, for me anyway. And I thought that was a good performance at Newmarket. If it was soft, I could see this going off favourite. But my main bet is a bit like Robbie, is that I'm going to go for Ylang Ylang for the Oaks before the Guineas. I think you get 6-1. And I think that she'll definitely be there. Well, I think she'll be their Oaks runner. There's a lot that can happen before the Oaks. But I think if she gets placed or even wins, she'll be 2-1, 5-2. And I think she will win or get placed. So I'm going to back Ylang Ylang in the Guineas, but she's my Oaks fancy now to get on before the Guineas.
Absolutely. You have to take note as well of the fact that Aiden's come out and said that he's going to have one runner in both of the classics, one in each, and you know, City of Troy and Ylang Ylang, they're obviously the top-notch horses from the yard for these classics. Interesting, Parky, reading Paul Keighley in the Weekender, he's made a really good case for See the Fire. He also made a case for Ramachua as well, but he was quite keen on See the Fire. He's been well supported maybe on the back of that. But Andrew Balding, we've mentioned already, in form. Oisin Murphy on board, the winner of the race last year with Morge. He was aboard Morge that time. But look, a fair price at around 9-1. What did we make of this race?
Yeah, I'll start with Darnation, who Robbie mentioned, because I would be very keen on her as well if she was to run. She is a massive price at 40-1. I've got the Met Office weather right in front of me now, and I'm not sure whether we're going to get enough rain. There's like showers, but 50% chance of rain essentially tomorrow, but light showers. Saturday's dry, and then it's only light showers, 40% chance on Sunday. I suspect Carl Burke will be looking at that and thinking, I'm not sure there's enough in there. That has changed literally from the start of the shooting this to now, because there was heavier showers on Sunday forecast. So it's obviously a little bit unpredictable. If she was to run, she's got a massive chance. She clearly is the wrong price. I just wonder if a lot of that is factored into the fact that she might actually be taken out of the race, or the likelihood is with France her more likely target. The front two, I think they're short enough in the market. I can definitely, I'd prefer Ylang Ylang out of the two of them. And I think you're probably right. 6-1 for the Oaks is, I think she does look more of an Oaks, really. Dance Sequence will definitely improve for the step up to a mile. Her run in the Nell Gwynn was solid enough, but I just think you'd probably expect the Guineas winner to have been good enough to win a race like that. Ramatuel, I think she's the one who's massively overpriced here. Unlike Dance Sequence, who I was a little bit disappointed with in a trial, there was a lot to like, I thought, about Ramatuel's run in France the other week. She settled, which she didn't do really much last year. And I was really glad to see that, because I didn't think she had a hope in hell of staying the Guineas trip on what we'd seen of her last year, because I thought she just looked a little bit too fizzy. But she settled so much better when she was beaten. They really didn't give her a hard time of things. She still cantered into the race, and she looked like she was going to win a furlong out, and they've just given her an easy time. This is clearly the plan. They obviously didn't want to give her a hard race on that ground. And I just took plenty of positives from that. She, for the first time, she looked to me like she looked like she was a miler. And her pedigree suggests that she is going to be a miler. I'm quite keen on Ramatuel. I think she's certainly up to the level of the top two in the market, and she's what, three times the price, which I just think is wrong, to be honest. I think she'll run a big race.
Absolutely. Last time Parky and I were on a podcast together talking about a Christopher Headhorse would have been Big Rock in the QE2, and he won by half the track. And I think even Graham Rodway was really sweet that day as well. I think we all were trying to nap this horse up. And honestly, yeah, Ramatuel, Parky said it just there, but the horse was keen at the start of the pre-imprudence, but then eventually did settle. And just ran just an excellent trial for this race. I think everyone's caught up in the fact that they think she should be a 6 furlong horse based on the fact that she was beaten by Van Dijk, and that's about it. But she will get this trip. Head's already said that he wouldn't come over for this race if he didn't think she'd get the trip. He's going to come over, win this, and likely go to the Coronation Stakes at Ascot. That'd be probably the plan with this horse. If not, if it doesn't all work out and they think she's a 6 furlong horse, she could end up in the Commonwealth Cup. We'll have to wait and see. The horse that I just want to give a mention to, if the ground did come up quick, would be Appleby's other horse with Mikel Barcelona on it, Cinderella's Dream. It would have to come up quick, but this horse won the Jumeirah 1000 Guineas out in Maidan at the start of March, and those who probably saw it on Twitter, William Buick lost his irons, and this horse won by God knows how far. I think it was about 6 lengths that day. This horse has definitely got a lot about her, and I've got a feeling that she'll have a massive season when the ground does get quick. I'm not saying that, you know, Sunday's going to be the day because it might be too soft, but when the ground does get quick, I think Cinderella's Dream's a really exciting horse, currently around the 18-20-1 mark for the guineas, but I would only be playing that horse as an each way play if the ground was quick enough. So there we go, the 1000 guineas covered. Let's just see if there are any other selections from the team. There's plenty of top quality action this weekend, even some action from Punchestown on Saturday, but other group races as well from Newmarket on Sunday as well. Ed Nicholson, anything from you?
No, nothing from me.
Nothing from you. Robbie Wilders, you must have something that's worth noting.
Yeah, I thought I'd best get one at least, because I didn't give a real selection for that first race. So I've got another one at first in the 5 furlong handicap, Arecibo, 3:15 on Saturday. Eye-catching enough stable debut for Declan Carroll last time, when mine and Ed's initial fancy for the Palace House of Quality just got up by a head close home. I mean, we know Arecibo's sort of had a lot of high-class form back in the day. He was second in the King's Stand a few years ago. You'd like to think he'd be sort of improved for that run. He was actually £2 at the weights that day, so he's only, or £3 high, he's only racing off a £1 higher mark. Now, he's got a lot of weight to carry in this handicap, 10 stone 3. But I did note that in 5 furlong handicaps, when carrying 9 stone 12 or more, he's got form figures of 1.6, 1.22. So he's not going to worry about carrying much more weight here. I think he's got too much class. And yeah, I think he's got a massive chance in this sprint. Arecibo.
Arecibo, one, another one at first from Robbie. Tom Park, anything from you away from the action that we've already covered?
Yeah, there was a horse who I actually fancied for the Thurscourt Cup, who was doubly engaged at one in the 5 o'clock at Newmarket, a horse called Crackshot of Ed Walker's. I think he's a really well handicapped horse, and will probably he's definitely one for your tracker this season, so keep an eye on him. He runs in the 5 o'clock at Newmarket on Saturday, and then on Sunday, two classy horses that I'll just give a mention to you. You'll have heard no doubt about them before, but New London, I actually backed him anti-post for the Ark a couple of years ago. That's how kind of classy I thought he was. He ought to be prove a lot better than a handicapper. He runs off a mark of 108 in the 3 o'clock at Newmarket on Sunday, and then in the 2:25 the Dahlia Stakes, one of my old friends, Running Lion, the 1 mile 1 furlong trip, I think should be perfect for her. And yeah, I think she'll take all the beating if she's on song. So yeah, Crackshot, New London, and Running Lion.
There we go, a few to note across the weekend from Parky. Right, it's time for the best bets of the week, and then we'll all give a nap, and these will be boosted at the time of this podcast/video upload. I'll kick things off this week. I'm going to go to the 205 at Goodwood, the Conqueror Filly Stakes listed contest there on Saturday, and I'm going to be napping up Novus for the Gary and Josh Moore team. Soft grounds in a suit, like Ed said, the prep run was just ideal for this horse. Gary Moore has always targeted Goodwood as a track. I think this has been a massive plan for the start of the season, and like I said, it would have been Soisir for me, but this horse would be wanting good ground, so Novus will be the one for me at Goodwood in the 205. Ed, you can go next.
Well, I was going to go, having seen the ground conditions at Chichester, I was actually going to say Novus. I'd go on heavy going. I think that becomes an even better bet because the price will disintegrate. I think it's 3-1 at the moment. But I'll go with my original selection, which was Dutch Decoy in the Suffolk Stakes, 2:20 at Newmarket. Just beaten last time out. Has run well in this race before. Contested all the big handicaps over the last couple of years. Likes the track. Was 6th in the Cambridgeshire. I just think he's got a stable in form as well with Charlie Johnson. He's got a great chance. He's a shorter price in the betting than I'd like, but I think Dutch Decoy wins.
Dutch Decoy in the 220 at Newmarket on Saturday for Ed. Tom Park, to you.
Yeah, 255 Newmarket on Saturday. I think Twilight Calls is the best horse in the race, and you've got the best jockey in the race, and you get an 11-2, which I think is a mega price. So Twilight Calls for me.
Twilight Calls in the Palace House Stakes at 255 for Parky. And Robbie Wilders, finish things off.
Yeah, seeing as you fellas have taken a lot of the ones I was interested in, and I'm not allowed to nap on Sunday, I'm going to go for the 305 at Punchtown on Saturday. We've not really spoke about Punchtown, but that's fine. It's a tough enough day. There's a lot of short price favourites, etc. This race, the 305 on Saturday, is a four-miler, and I'm quite interested in your own story for Lucinda Russell. This horse is a dower stayer. He was keeping on sixth in the Scottish National this time last year off £3 higher mark. I think he's quite well treated. He's sort of been working his way back to form on slower ground. He does quite like a sound surface, which he should get a punch down. I catch and run at Kelso last time. If he didn't get the last wrong, I'm sure he would have won that. He's been dropped for it, surprisingly. And I just don't think you should be scared of taking a sort of British horse in a handicap punch down. Like, there's been a lot of horses this week come out and run well in them, and in recent years. I think it'll be a decent price because it is about sort of 25 to 26 runners there. And you'll certainly get some each way extra places as well. So, yeah, your own story, I think, is one. He's had a very light campaign. He's only eight. He's a Forester. Ground suits. I think it'll go well.
Okay, and if you were to have a nap on the ITV racing card, who would it be?
Oh, yeah, I'd have gone Marcella in that Turf Isle Goodwood.
That's fine.
Or right, Theory of Everything in the 225 Newmarket. But best of luck to you two. I hope you're wrong.
There we go. Yeah, if I could nap on Sunday, then Ramatrael certainly would be the one that I'd be napping up. I've been banging on about this horse for about 5 months now. Right, time to find out just quickly what everyone's up to this weekend. Tom Park, what's the plans of you? I've heard before we come in, marathon training. What's going on there?
Yeah, I've got running the Leeds Marathon on the 12th of May, so it'll be a relatively quiet one, whatever I do. But yeah, I'll either go and watch Sunderland or I might go to Thirsk. I'm undecided yet. Thirsk definitely sounds the better proposition of them two, the way Sunderland have been playing. But yeah, I'll have a think. But it'll be one of them, but it'll be a quiet one. And my last long run on Sunday, so before the big one. So, yeah.
Best of luck with that. Yeah, next week, marathon. I wouldn't be able to train for that. I'd have to give it a good go, though. Robbie Wilder's plans this weekend?
Yes, mate. Slightly big weekend for me. Got me my significant other's birthday on Saturday. So, pub golf planned in Clapham. The worry is I might have to be forced to leave the flat, like, when the Guineas is sort of starting. So, who's kicking off at, like, four, so I'm a bit concerned about that. But I'll be... be very much phone in hand and keeping a close eye on. But yeah, should be a decent one. What about yourself, mate?
Oh, well, I'm at Goodwood, obviously, Friday and Saturday, but I'm celebrating, well, it's not actually my 30th birthday, but I'm celebrating my 30th on Saturday.
Wow.
My 30th is actually going to be on next week's podcast. I've actually been roped in to do that next week, so I'll actually be on next week. I'll be having the day off the following day. But yeah, my 30th is being celebrated this weekend at Goodwood, so looking forward to that. So hopefully Novus can give me a nice birthday winner. And Ed Nicholson, where are you this weekend? You could be at any track.
I'm at Cheltenham for the Hunters Chase meeting on Friday, and then Monday, Bath, and then Tuesday morning, Gatwick, going over to Gibraltar, coming back from Gibraltar on Thursday night, and then going to Chester on Friday. Nice. So it's quite a busy week this week.
Mr. Worldwide.
Well, there we go. We'll I forgot. We've got Chester next week. All the big flat festivals are really going to start kicking off now, aren't they? So yeah, Chester next week. We'll probably have a little glance over maybe some of the races on next week's podcast as well. We'll get the Friday card anyway on next week's show. So there we go. Big thanks to the panel as always. Best of luck to whoever you fancy in the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas this weekend. We'll be back again next Thursday. As always, do like, share, subscribe, get those comments in down below, and we'll see you again for another postcast. Thanks for watching.